Are we ready to open next month?
I think so.
You think so?
Well, it's complicated. Fire protection, first aid supplies, uniforms, safety training, mat services. Oh, and restroom supplies.
So uncomplicated. Call CentOS. They'll handle all of it.
Wow. One company can handle all that? That's not very complicated.
So, you'll be ready?
Oh, we'll be ready.
Oh, I'm ready!
Learn how CentOS can help you get ready for the workday. Visit CentOS.com.
Welcome back to Locked On Bears. I'm your host, Lauren Cox from Pro Football Focus and USA Today's BearsWire.com, and I'm here to bring you your daily Chicago Bears talk on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. On today's episode of the only daily Chicago Bears podcast, we are going to talk about the Chicago Bears' search for offensive and defensive success, specifically sustainable success on both sides of the ball. We started to see that on defense against the Carolina Panthers. We're starting to see this team come together as a group, whereas offensively, I think we have yet to see repeatable, sustainable success with even with Mitch Trubisky on the field. On today's episode, we're going to hear some quotes from Zach Miller speaking with the media earlier this week, as well as Akeem Hicks. They both give their perspective on their respective sides of the ball, and we'll take a look at sort of how John Fox's overarching influence might be affecting both the offense and the defense. To start, let's talk a little bit about what Mitchell Trubisky has been able to do this season since taking over for that starting job. And really, I guess when you know, as much as this team has put points on the board as a team, when you really take a step back and look at what this offense has done, it might be surprising to you perhaps how little. I mean, they put up 17, 27, and 17 the last 3 weeks. They're scoring as a team at a better rate than they were earlier in the year. But if you look at just what they've actually done offensively, Mitchell Trubisky has thrown 2 touchdown passes since he took over, and he led the team down for another touchdown scoring drive when Tariq Cohen threw the trick pass, halfback pass, to the end zone to put up 6 for him. And then there was also the drive with the fake punt pass touchdown, whereas Jordan Howard has not scored a touchdown since week 4 when Mike Glennon was under center. And so we're seeing a team here that offensively isn't consistently yet driving down the field to put points on the board. What we have seen, I mean, we have seen plenty of 3-and-outs, but what we have seen in the positive side is some ball movement, particularly in the second half of the last couple games. We've seen Trubisky and the offense start to get some stuff going with the ground game, maybe a couple passes here and there, but particularly against the Panthers, it was a struggle for 3.5 quarters. And we kind of know that Dowell Loggins, he can get yards with almost any quarterback. You know, he did it last year with 3 different guys, Jay Cutler, Matt Barkley, and Brian Hoyer. Earlier this season, you know, they got yards and points with Mike Glennon, even if it was quite a struggle. They were still able to technically put up 300 yards of offense in each of the first 4 games. I'm not going to put a lot of stock into that, considering they were 1-3 and they haven't even been able to replicate that. I don't get too caught up in yards, but what it does at least show you is that Loggins is capable of creating an offense that can move the ball up and down the field. The problem is getting sustained success and getting sustained points on the board. Let's see a red zone offense come together here. We've seen the Bears get down there quite a few times. Well, not quite a few, but a good handful, half a dozen to, you know, 10 times this since Mitch Trubisky has taken over. And a couple of touchdowns to show for it and a handful of field goals to show for it. And that was the problem with this offense last year, largely, I mean, on top of turnovers with some of the quarterbacks, but still, that sort of Dowell Loggins' usual production is getting yards here, but we still need to see a quarterback-led offense put up points in the end zone consistently with Mitch Trubisky under center. You know, you would think because of how much more talented this young quarterback is than Glennon and really any of the way Dowell Loggins' previous quarterbacks in Chicago had been playing, it feels like it's time for this offense to start putting up points consistently and scoring in repeatable ways. You know, as much as Trubisky drives down there and sets up the Tariq Cohen touchdown, it's still, that play was technically outside of the red zone. Pat O'Donnell's passing touchdown from the fake punt outside of the red zone. We just haven't seen this team either be able to pound it in on the ground, as they failed to do against the Carolina Panthers, and they've also struggled to find third down passing plays near the goal line. Well, maybe that they've struggled to find ones that work because they've run a couple plays pre-designed for Tariq Cohen on third down in the red zone at the goal line that haven't worked. And eventually, they're going to have a game where their defense and special teams stop scoring touchdowns for them. And they're going to have a game where they can't just pull out a trick play and score a touchdown, because there are only so many trick plays in the book, and teams can start to pick up on, you know, the more gimmicky parts of an offense. But the Bears are going to be in a game eventually, maybe it's not even next week against the Saints, but eventually, where their defense can't keep the other team off of the board for four quarters, and the other team puts up 17 points. And just like we saw against the Baltimore Ravens and against the Minnesota Vikings, you're going to need the offense to drive downfield and score points. They were able to do that and hold off against the Ravens, get the ball, get the game into overtime, and ultimately drive down and finish when it mattered most. But there's really only one or two regulation drives this year where a Trubisky-led offense has driven down into the red zone and made a big play. And that's not a criticism whatsoever of Mitchell Trubisky. I mean, we saw it in the Panthers game. He throws a 70-yard pass to Tariq Cohen. Huge, explosive play for the offense. They get 3 points out of it. I mean, he made a big play early in the game to Zach Miller. They end up punting. I mean, this young quarterback is showing flashes of playmaking ability, and clearly the team needs to be better around him. That comes from the offensive coordinator, and that comes also just from the other 10 guys starting on offense. And Zach Miller, the tight end, he spoke with the media this week about the growth of his young quarterback, sort of what happened with the offense in Carolina, and sort of how everything played out into what was a disappointing offensive performance. And I think he provides a good perspective here, sort of from the point of view of the team and what they've been able to see about their young quarterback. So take a listen to what Zach Miller had to say. And again, I want to mention that the audio clip of Miller and later when we hear from Akeem Hicks, when the reporters are asking questions, there's some loud keyboard clacking. That's sort of just the nature of the beast of recording press conferences. Then when the Chicago Bears, you know, play those press conferences for everyone, they always pick up plenty of background noise and keyboard noise. Nothing I can do about that, but hopefully you're still able to get some good perspective from Zach Miller, and I think his quotes are definitely worth tuning into and paying special attention to how he words certain answers.
What did you see from Mitch yesterday and how he kind of handled, you know, only throwing 7 passes? He said he played poor, just how he kind of handled the game.
I mean, he's been great since he stepped in. You know, I told you guys a number of times he's had some, you know, Monday night on the road in Baltimore. There's just, and people ask about his growth. Well, I see his growth, but it hasn't been so exponential because it's been good since he's been in. And I'm sure he's as hard on himself as anybody will be. That's just because he wants to be a great player, and he will be. But we need to be better around him collectively. If we're going to choose to run the ball and that's going to be our thing, we need to run it better. We can't, be 3 and out and put our defense back on the field when they've been on there for the majority of the game. Time of possession was way too lopsided. So we just need to do things better to help Mitch and to help our team as a whole.
Zach, well, what do you think the passing game is capable of with Mitch? We haven't initially seen it through 3 games. I think people have seen what Mitch can do, but what do you think it's capable of?
I mean, early on, we got 2 huge explosives in the passing game. And it was weird the way it played out. We hopped on to a 17-3 lead which needs to be bigger. When we get it on third and one on the goal line, you got to punch that in. You can't trade field goals and touchdowns. Those are huge for us. It's just we have to do better for him. The pass game can open up. We got guys that are very capable of, you know, defeating coverages, defeating man-to-man. We can win in the pass game. We need to be able to be more balanced so we can kind of go back and forth. But just the way it played out was, I think, kind of ground and pound, see if we can grind this clock down and get out of here with a win.
What do you see
for a couple more weeks from yesterday's game?
I would say just the lack of being able to extend drives. You know, we had late in the game when Danny gets his interception and we're in scoring range, to be able to put more points on the board, whether it be you get in the red zone and work your way toward touchdown, or we're already in striking distance for a field goal and we have a couple penalties back-to-back, delay game, false start to back us up. That's a frustrating part. The things that you can control before the game, before the play starts rolling, that's what affects us, where you're like, we need to be smarter. And then you get in the game, it's just little things. There's a number of plays every single individual wants back throughout the game, but we just got to be better, work on technique, focus, and carry on.
Jack, when the ball's inside the one at fourth down, to what extent, if any, do the players try to nudge the coach or OC into going for it?
I mean, it's kind of like maybe you look over and be like, let's go, but that's Foxy's decision. He's normally pretty adamant about what he wants to get done. But, you know, we had a third and one, and we get backed up for -4, -5. It's kind of tough. And to take points off the board for us is better to get points on and put it through the uprights, I guess.
But it's never overt lobbying, right?
I mean, yeah, there's some lobbying going on. But that's why those guys get paid to make those decisions, and they tell us what to do and run the plays. Napa
know-how. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how. At participating Napa auto parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
I think it's important to read between the lines here a little bit and think critically about what Zach Miller said there. Again, I don't want to go too far overboard and try and take anything out of context, but some of the things he said there, we need to be better around Mitch Trubisky. And then one of the specific phrasings that he said, if we're going to choose to run the ball and have that be our thing, then we got to, you know, be better at that. If we're going to, like, he makes it sound like, doesn't that strike you a little bit that, well, if that's going to be our thing, like, as though, like, I guess that's what we're rolling with? Like, if there seems to be some, it's in the tone and the word choice there. If we're going to choose to run the ball and have that be our thing, then we need to do this, like, as though that's being an active decision and an action of consequence that maybe Miller is saying, okay, well, we're going to accept this as our role now, rather than that feeling like he seems hesitant or reluctant about it. Like that, is that going to be our role? Where instead of being like, we are a team that is going to run the ball, and we're going to run the ball very effectively and work the pass off of that, he's kind of making it, well, if we're going to run the ball here, and maybe he's just a tight end that wants to catch passes and doesn't want to run block as much, I don't know. But it certainly feels a little bit questionable there with the way he's worded. And then you follow that up later, he says, you know, the pass game can open up and we can win. We have receivers that can beat, you know, defenders in coverage. We need to be a more balanced offense, he said. And again, maybe, you know, that feels just like a slight underlying shot at Dowell Loggins. I'm not trying to say Zach Miller is forming a mutiny against his offensive coordinator, but it struck me a little bit when I heard him talk the first time that, you know, I think he and the teammates recognize that, hey, when they run the ball considerably over and over again against the Carolina Panthers, and the Panthers respond with 8- and 9-man boxes on 19 of the 21 runs, all but two of them were 8- and 9-man boxes, I think the entire offense can recognize that, hey, maybe mixing in the pass a little bit more, finding being a little bit less predictable in terms of when you put three wide receivers on the field, you pass. And when you put two tight ends on the field, you run, and not really deviating a lot from that structure. The Panthers are then able to play to the running game, swarm after the ball, outnumber the Bears purely in a numbers standpoint of blockers versus defenders, and ultimately you become one-dimensional and you hold your rookie quarterback back. And that's when it comes back to Miller saying we have to be better around Mitch. And he did concede, you know, he said it was weird the way the game played out, and maybe, you know, sort of he understands. I mean, I think he's acknowledging that, yes, the situation in this game was a little bit weird, but I think he's also questioning some of the game plan and some of the execution. And maybe that's not directly at Loggins. Maybe some of that is at, you know, John Fox. And certainly Miller admitted that he and everyone else, the players, need to do better. But I think there was some real questioning there, just subtly between the lines of, if we're going to choose to run the ball and have that be our thing, then we need to be better at it. And also saying the pass game can be successful, we can win there, and we need to be more balanced. That, to me, is just a little bit of some questioning and some notable quotes from Zach Miller. The other thing he said was that talking about the fourth down and deciding to take the field goal at the goal line instead of going for it, talked about how that's John Fox's decision. And that's not necessarily surprising that the head coach has the final say in important decisions. I mean, that's sort of how the structure works. But I just question how robust that is and how set in stone that, you know, is there any influence of this offensive coordinator to say, you know what, I trust my guys here to make a play and to go out and we're going to score on fourth down here. I mean, I know in that particular situation, the Bears weren't desperate for points. And you know that if the Bears had needed a touchdown there, they were going to go for it on fourth down. But it just makes me question how much John Fox is able to influence the offense. You know, I think there was during the Panthers game, when they came back from commercials or they were going to commercials one of the time, they showed John Fox and Dow Loggins talking, and just he was mouthing the words, keep running the ball. Like there's this influence of Fox's, you know, conservative. He talks every time about, man, you know, not turning the ball over, and that's the number one emphasis he seems to put. And I wonder how much that's influencing Dow Loggins' play calling, his personnel usage, and sort of this restriction on Mitchell Trubisky and the offense. You know, is John Fox calling, you know, is John Fox calling some of the shots here? Not that he's picking the plays, but is he even qualified to tell the offensive coordinator how to run his offense? I mean, not that John Fox doesn't have experience, but he hasn't necessarily ever developed a young quarterback successfully in his head coaching career. I mean, he's a defensive guy, and that's totally fine. That's not a flaw that he's not an offensive guy or that he hasn't necessarily personally overseen a lot of offensive growth from a young quarterback. But if he is influencing the offense, why? And is it a power thing? Is it just he thinks he knows best? I'm not trying to say Dow Loggins knows best, but he might know a little bit more about situational offensive football than John Fox has. I mean, it's just sort of, these are all just sort of questions that arise to me after this Panthers game and after Zach Miller's quotes. I'm not trying to read too far into it. I'm not trying to make any conclusions or overwhelming generalization truths about this team. Just think a lot of this raises some valid questions about John Fox's influence. That being said, I think John Fox is influencing the defensive side of this ball quite a bit as well. I mean, it's the head coach. He's going to influence both sides in some capacity. It's a question of how much. And we know John Fox has always been a defensive guy. And we don't know exactly how much he's influencing this defense, but certainly this defense is playing well, and both he and Vic Fangio deserve a lot of credit for the way it's coming together. And, this past week, Akeem Hicks spoke with the media about where this defense has come from, where they're growing, how they're playing better, and what has been the difference for some of their younger playmakers starting to step up. And he doesn't directly necessarily mention John Fox and Vic Fangio by name, but some of the things he talks about, I think, can point back to good coaching on the defensive side of the ball and certainly a lot of natural talent being acquired by Ryan Pace on the defense, and it all seems to be coming together here at just the right moment.
You guys not given the last two games, scored three touchdowns, not given up any. What's been the key to the resurgence? What do you see as different?
Not making dumb mistakes, not making making sure we're locked in mentally, right? I mean, you go the whole week and you try to focus on, you know, what you got installed and what you're going to do. And, you want to go to a game and execute just as well as you did in practice. And I think there were some times during the earlier part of the season where we didn't execute in Atlanta, 88-yard touchdown, other places, other situations. I think that we've been executing at a high level as far as just the mental aspect of the game. Look at our secondary. They're firing, right, on all cylinders. They're getting after everybody. They're aggressive. There was a play yesterday where Kyle Fuller came up and smacked Cam Newton's legs from under him, and he got up, and, like, I saw this stuff in his eyes. I don't know what it was, but he was ready to go. And I just think the intensity that our secondary has been playing with has just been awesome. And I would attribute a lot of, shutting down the primary receivers and stuff like that to those guys.
Did you hear what Fuller said again when he jumped up?
I was so busy looking in his eyes because I had never seen his eyes that wide. And, like, look at Cam. Cam's like 6'8". Kyle's like 5'9", right? So it's like, you ever seen a Chihuahua fight a pit bull? Not that vibe, but I bet it's not pretty. It gets you excited. I had to get up and get excited with him. It's just, you intensity, it can be contagious. Everybody starts feeling it, and everybody's firing and hitting stuff, and that's how good defense is played.
What have you seen 7 weeks out of healthy Eagle?
Man, just a guy performing consistently. I think one of my favorite games of his was Baltimore just last week. I think that the way he hits his blocks, you know, from the nose guard position, he's really savvy about how to use his body control in order to stay in his gap. And it's a rare occasion to see him fall behind the block, but when he does, he's able to recover really well. I think Eddie's just not to be too excited about a guy, but he's just a specimen. He just does it really well. He plays the nose guard position just as good as anybody else in the league. I think we can be better. That's my personal opinion. I feel like, when we get in our four-man rush, I think that me and him could really do a lot more damage.
Okay, keep your eyes closed.
Okay.
I want to show you my first ever painting.
All right.
Okay. Open your eyes.
Oh, that's a lot of colors and shapes.
So be honest. What do you think?
Well, I like how if you switch to Geico, you could save hundreds of dollars on car insurance.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Here, why don't I hold your paintbrush while you call them?
Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
Akeem Hicks's comments there, I think, were a good reminder of just how important the mental side of the game is to football. And I think Kyle Fuller is the prime example. He talked about how aggressive he's been and how intense he's been. He talked about him having that look in his eyes and barking at Cam Newton, and how that can be contagious on this team. And I think you're seeing some brand new level of confidence from Kyle Fuller. I think we saw flashes of it his rookie season when he made some interceptions and kind of looked like this promising young player who, you know, made some mistakes in coverage but could be a playmaker, could make interceptions and potentially have a bright future on this team. 4 interceptions as a rookie, 2 in his second season. And obviously, things kind of trailed off. And he had a couple, 2015 wasn't great of a year for him or much of this Bears defense. And then he misses all of last season with a knee injury. And the questions about his confidence and his demeanor and his mental fortitude kind of came into question. And now he's in the starting lineup. He's playing well. He starts to get turnovers. And we're seeing a more energized and more effective player who is on top of his game. Fox had mentioned weeks past about how he's putting in more work in the film room and just getting more prepared for every game. And it's just a very critical step forward for him. And you see it be contagious with the other secondary players. Adrian Amos comes down, makes big plays against the run, pass breakup against the tight end, Ed Dixon, makes some big plays in that game. And Eddie Jackson, obviously, with the huge turnovers. And those turnovers started last week against the Baltimore Ravens, and it just gives this defense this new energy and this new level of confidence that, you know, they'd gone so long without these turnovers, and I think that weighs on them a little bit. So they finally get, you know, the one against the Baltimore, and it really turns that on for them. And now they get 2 against, or I guess 3 when Danny Trevathan got his interception. They get more against the Carolina Panthers. They're starting to get more confident at every level. Akeem Hicks starts playing better when the turnovers start. You know, Eddie Goldman starts playing well. Leonard Floyd starts producing a little bit more. Danny Trevathan has a fantastic all-around game. It's definitely contagious. You know, when the defense starts getting gashed, they kind of tend to fall apart together. But when they start making plays together, they start playing better together, and they can really turn it on for a nice performance against the Carolina Panthers. You see it in the energy, in this confidence, in these young players stepping up and playing some of the best football of their young careers, and it just reverberates, has that ripple effect throughout the rest of the roster. I mean, you kind of see the same thing when Mitchell Trubisky took over, you know, against the Minnesota Vikings. The energy just had this confidence, this just a new, it felt like a different offense, you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't enough to give them the win in that game, but there was this certain hope and excitement about this offense that could put up more points than what they got with Mike Glennon. It was like what happened last year when Jay Cutler came back to play against the Minnesota Vikings in Week 8. The offense was re-energized. They whooped one of the best teams in football. Energy and this mental side of the game, the confidence of this team, is incredibly important. And that's kind of what goes into building a culture, is that when you get caught in this losing culture of a franchise of 3-13 and 6-10, there's not that level of confidence that they truly believe they can beat anybody on any given Sunday, that one way or another someone is going to step up and make the necessary plays to win more football games. They're starting to build a little bit of that confidence and a little bit of that culture. The question comes back to what we talked about at the top of the show, this sustainability. The Bears have 2 wins in a row now. That means something. You know, that's a new energy. That's the kind of thing that cannot be measured. But it's a question of, can it sustain? You know, will it translate to 3 wins in a row against the Saints? Or if they, and when they lose again, because the Bears aren't going to win out the rest of the season. I mean, let's just be honest. They're not going to finish 12-4 and just completely ride this off into a NFC North title and playoff glory. I mean, we'll just be a little bit realistic here. When they lose, does that culture revert? You know, do they lose that confidence? That, man, we were doing it, but then we're back to the same mistakes. Does that confidence go away? Does that energy go away? Or are they starting to build something here where they shake off a loss and come back the very next game and kick some butt, play confident, get some turnovers, get some offensive points? You know, we'll see. That's on John Fox. That's on the offensive and defensive coordinators. It's on the players in the locker room. Is this Bears team turning a corner? Or is this Bears team putting together some nice games but unable to sustain it? You know, history with John Fox here in Chicago maybe says the latter, but you never know. It's year 3. You have this system in place with guys that have been here. This is going to be an interesting turning point here in the season. If it's a turning point, if things are truly changing, or if it's a little bit of fool's gold, it's still exciting. Either way, it's something, you know, the energy makes the Chicago Bears more fun to write about, more fun to watch, more fun to talk about. It's more fun to be a consumer of Chicago Bears football when they have this type of energy. We are going to keep up this energy on Locked On Bears every single day of the daily Chicago Bears podcast. Make sure you are subscribed on iTunes, on Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, wherever you listen to podcasts. Make sure you are keeping up with all of our shows there. You can follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Bears. We have a website, lockedonbears.com, as part of our partnership with the FanRag Sports Network. And of course, you can follow me on Twitter at CoxSports1. Hopefully we can capture that same new energy about the Chicago Bears on there. I really feel like this sort of confidence level that the Chicago Bears have shown the last 2 weeks just really feels like a good reason to bear down.